Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here with our Survivor Exit Interview podcast, and we've got a good one today as Gabby Piscuzzi is going to join us after last night's big episode where she was idled out of the game. She had a plan going on. She was going to take out her close ally, Christian. We'll talk about all of that today here with Gabby on the Exit Interview podcast. And then so much great stuff coming up this weekend on Rob Has a Podcast, because we are going to be speaking with Tyson Apostle coming up later today. Very excited to talk with Tyson. I only talk about Survivor with Tyson like twice a year, maybe in Reno if you count a bonus time for a couple of minutes, but this is it. Talk to Tyson all the time, but we never get to talk about Survivor. So very excited to talk to Tyson later on today. And then the most highly anticipated feedback show of the season, Bryce Isaiah, is going to join me on Friday. We're going to get into everything. So get your questions in for Bryce. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that. And then we've also got some bonus coverage, The Wiggle Room, coming your way. So don't miss any of it when you subscribe to Rob Has a Podcast. And real quick, before we get to Gabby, I want to take a moment and mention our RHAP Amazon link, our associate link for our RHAP store. Anything you buy on Amazon, we get a small commission. It does not cost you any more if you're doing your holiday shopping. We always appreciate you thinking of us. Amazon.com/shop/RHAP, or you can find the links and banners on robhasawebsite.com. All right. I see that we have Gabby here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Gabby, good morning.
Hello, Rob.
How's it going, Gabby? How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm still blown away by last night's episode. I want to commend you on a really badass way of going out of the game. If you have to go out, that's not a bad way to do it. Guns blazing.
Thank you. Thanks. I agree. I think I would have regretted it way more if I had gone to the move, gone to the end and not done anything, not made a move. I would have regretted that way more than how I ended up going out.
Certainly, certainly. But I do want to talk to you about the timing of that move at the final eight in this round to go after your close ally in Christian. Do you feel like that it might have been maybe one round too early? And I totally acknowledge that it was a move that you needed to make, but in terms of this round of play, was it the right round, considering that there were at least four people who seemed to be working against both you and Christian?
Yeah, in retrospect, it might have been, right? And that's the hard part about Survivor. If I would have waited until the final seven, I was scared that he could win immunity. He had an idol. He could find more idols. And the thing is, I thought that Christian would see it coming at seven. So I purposely did it one vote earlier, thinking that we could blindside him with an idol in his pocket, which I realize is a little bit of a risky thing to try. But I think with the fire making challenge being at the final four now, it has bumped up when the end game starts by one whole vote.
Now, if this move ended up working and you got Christian out here and now you go into the final seven, what was your plan going to be moving forward now without Christian?
Yeah, so I think my mistake was that I thought the game was a lot more fluid than it was. So the group that I had just voted with, I didn't really know if that was an alliance or more of a voting block. I thought that we, as a group of the eight people that were left, were going to basically just vote out whoever the biggest threats remaining in the game were. So I saw myself sort of swinging with group to group to take out whoever we needed to next. And the three people that people tended to talk about, Mike had actually brought it up to me earlier that game, and I barely even talked strategy with Mike, were Christian, Allison, and Davey. And so I'm thinking there's four votes left. There's three names that people are telling me are people that they want to get rid of. So nobody's looking at me. I'll just go with whichever group wants to vote out whoever next. And then I was hoping that it would be a situation in which I would maybe be the last David standing, and that by the time we were at final five, final four, I would maybe have an immunity win. Who knows? Maybe I would win the fire making challenge. I would have something under my belt that made me somebody that you didn't want to sit next to in the end.
Did you have any idea that people were going to be writing your name down at all at that tribal council?
Oh, so before the tribal council, no, but at the tribal council, yes. I felt that it had been telegraphed to me a little bit in the wording of things people were saying at tribal. I mean, if I had an idol, I would have played it because I did not feel good. In particular, I felt like when Angelina said, I'm voting for somebody that I've never trusted and I've never been able to work with, I was like, okay, she's talking about me. I thought she was telegraphing it very clearly. And what they didn't show is I actually looked over at Nick and I looked over at Christian and I was like, is it me? And they both said no. But I was hoping when I saw that one vote for Allison, I was hoping that they had voted for Allison because that had been the plan. Mm-hmm. It had been a split vote plan. So that's why I turn around and I say, I'm sorry. Partially, I was sorry because she got a vote and I was hoping the next votes would be for her. The other sorry was because I had lied to her and said that Christian did not have an idol. So it was kind of like, sorry, yeah, Christian does have an idol.
Yeah, you were very apologetic on your way out the door. I've never seen that before where the person voted out is apologizing to other players that are still in the game.
That's so me. I'm so empathetic. And I felt bad leaving. I was like, oh no, I hope I didn't just screw Christian's game up. And meanwhile, I just got voted out. But I knew that they would see it as game. I had hoped that if that had worked and I had sent Christian home, that he would have gone to the jury respecting the move, understanding why I had to do it. And I was hoping that I would have an advocate for me on the jury if I had made it to the final tribal.
Now, speaking of Christian, there was that moment right before the vote where he ends up saying, hold on, Jeff, I want to look. And he looks around, he is reading the room. Do you have any sense of who he was looking at and what he might have seen? Or do you feel like that was just all theater?
I think it was theater. Having seen the episode and seeing Davey tipping him off, I don't think there's any way that Christian goes into that tribal not playing his idol. I know he was, I had talked to him previously about like, oh yeah, they're probably going to come for you at like 7 or 6. So, you know, be ready to play your idol at 7. And then meanwhile, I was planning like, oh, I'm actually going to vote you out at 8. So he knew he had to get rid of it. I think he was actually itching to get rid of it. I think it was a little bit of theater. And I'm saying that now having seen the episode, knowing that he got tipped off. In the moment, I will tell you, it struck fear into my heart where I was like, oh my gosh, he's looking at me right in the eyes. And I just looked at him right back and I kind of shook my head like, no, I think you're good. And of course, after that, I had days where I was like, what could I have said differently? I don't think there's much that I could have said to make him not play the idol.
Gabby, was this idea to vote out Christian, was this something that you had been working on for a while, or was this something that came together in this round like we saw in the episode last night?
It was something that was always in my head that I had never said out loud to anybody because I really am a loyal ally. I know people might laugh at that because I voted out Carl, I voted out, you know, but like I would never flip for no reason. So it was something I always thought about, never said to anybody. And then the loved one visit just made it more relevant than ever. And it's because I saw the way that he's a very empathetic person. He likes to take care of people. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the role that I've been in. I've been being protected by him this whole game. And there's no way anyone's going to respect my game if I go to the end with him, which I always knew. And it really was that I started counting backwards from the final 4 fire making challenge. And I was like, I only have 4 chances to get rid of him. He has an idol. He's good at immunity. We got to get rid of him at either 8, 7, or 6. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Gabby, why did you feel like that you could trust Nick and Davey to work with you on this vote after the Carl blindside in the previous round?
Yeah, I think I misread them, obviously. I thought that they were mad at Christian for telling me the plan. And the other reason, let me just say first, back up, I was really close with them. The Davids were really close. You know, you didn't see much of our relationship, but I had a great relationship with Nick and Davey. Now I know I didn't have a Nick Alliance nickname, but whatever. I thought that they were fluid enough players that they would understand we have to get rid of Christian, not because he's a David. It's not going against the Davids. It's not going against my number one ally. It's because it's Christian. It's because it's Christian and he's the biggest threat in the game right now. So I thought that they would just understand the rationale behind the move. And also, I mean, I talked to them, right? I apologized to them after the Carl thing. They apologized to me for leaving me out. And we all kind of, sorry, Carl, but we kind of all threw Carl under the bus as the scapegoat, where I was saying, I know you guys didn't want to lie to me, but Carl was the godfather. And they said, yeah, we wanted to tell you. It was all Carl. So I thought we had mended fences after that.
So we saw you talk a lot with Allison out there, and she seemed to be a tight ally. What was your relationship like with Kara?
Oh, I had a great relationship with Kara. One thing that we would do is we got a sewing kit at the merge, and Kara and I were two of the only people that knew how to sew. So we would sew up our clothes as they were getting loose because people were losing weight. We would go off privately and sew and talk strategy or life or whatever. So I found myself getting close to her and Allison. And Allison had brought up the idea of a final three with us girls. It was something that I thought about, but I was also very, hesitant about going to the end with Allison for similar reasons as I was hesitant for Christian. Because as much as I saw Allison as my ally and somebody that was one of my numbers and helping me, because she's such a confident, strong woman, I was worried that the perception was the same as it was with Christian, which was that I was in Allison's pocket. She was taking care of me. I was riding her coattails. So the perception was something that I was very conscious of the whole time, of how did I look in relation to these other players.
Were you shook at all by the choices that were made on the reward challenge in terms of the people that were selected by Angelina and Nick in terms of where the potential alliances could have been?
Oh, no. I was 0.0% shocked.
That's redundant.
As soon as Nick and Angelina won, I looked at my mom and shook my head like, yeah, they're not going to pick me. I knew Nick was going to pick Davey. Angelina and I were not friends. So, no, it was never going to happen.
But did you look at that as an indicator of that maybe these people are working together?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was surprising last night to see the sort of final four talk. And I understood Davey in the episode last night saying, yeah, I don't know about those three. And I kind of like wish he would have talked to me about that. Like, I don't know. I just wish we could have shared information about that because, I had no idea that they were doing some kind of final four thing. I don't know.
I thought you were very articulate with Josh Wiggler this week, talking about the pros and cons of being such an emotional person on Survivor. Is there anything else on that subject that you would want the listeners of the podcast to know?
I think definitely take a read of Josh's article. I laid it all out there, and I've gotten a lot of support. For every one negative message that I've gotten 10 people saying thank you for being an advocate, for wearing your emotions proudly. And so I'm really happy for that. I'm happy that people can relate to me. The one thing I want to say is I think I'm an emotional person, but I don't think that any of my strategy revolved around emotions. And if you look back at all of the votes that I did, you could not point to one and say that it was done out of emotion. Did I have emotional reactions? Do I cry? Yes. But even going way back to the Jessica thing, that was not emotional. That was strategic. Same with the Carl. I did not vote out Carl when we voted out Alec, precisely because I was worried about the fact that, oh, people are just going to see this as emotional. So I challenge people to understand that you can both be emotional and strategic at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive concepts. And I think I was very good at separating the game from my emotions, including my decision to take out Christian, which I think was the most unemotional decision that I've made all game.
Right. I feel like if anything, that was like a very cold-blooded move to make in the game. And I thought that was an interesting arc for you to have over the course of the season. Gabby, that hypothetically speaking, if you were ever to play the game of Survivor again, do you feel like that you would come into the game changed by this experience and would be less emotional than you were in this time around, and we would see more of the cold-blooded Gabby the whole time?
See, I think I don't need to be as cold-blooded, because one of the things that I learned was to was confidence. I think I gained a lot of confidence. And I think a lot of what I was trying to do this whole game was upend perceptions of me as an insecure person. So I think if I exude that confidence myself, then I don't need to, I can be firmly in an alliance and not have to worry about, oh, I have to take this person out so that I can take the credit. Because perhaps my confidence will be what gets me the credit just by virtue of my own gameplay.
All right, Gabby, thank you so much. I know you got a lot of interviews to do today, but I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and hope to talk to you again in the future, okay?
Thanks so much, Rob. Good talking to you.
All right, take care, Gabby. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Gabby Pascuzzi here on the Survivor exit interview. And, you know, it's a tough thing to sort of break down where, yes, I think that she should have gotten rid of Christian, but, you know, was the timing right? But then it's also the kind of thing where you look back and we have like a situation like with Laurel last season where, you know, that was there one round when she should have done it? It's easy to pinpoint when exactly it might have been, or, you know, we might see at the end of the season that Christian was never immune again and gets voted out anyway at the next round. So we will see exactly how it plays out. But nice to talk to Gabby here today on the exit interview, and looking forward to hopefully talking some more Survivor in the future with Gabby. All right. Now let's talk about some Survivor in the past when we go ahead and play the This Week in Survivor History quiz, where I took on Liana Boris in this week's round of the quiz. So let's go. Let's do some Twitch. All right, everybody, let's get into this week's edition of the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Let's bring in the host of everybody's favorite weekly Survivor quiz about the history of Survivor. And here is Mr. Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing well. And, you know, that's probably true. Best, or everyone's favorite weekly Survivor quiz about the history of Survivor. I'm not sure if any other ones exist. So, yeah, that's probably true.
Take what you can get. That's good.
Yeah. That's great. And we are we're here after a big week last week in which Jacob Derwin was on the show. He did a great job, but you won your first quiz in 5 weeks. So congratulations
back,
on
baby.
That.
Yes.
You are back and still really loving Survivor David versus Goliath.
Jordan, I'm so excited for our guest today on the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
Me too. And this is only the second person ever to play the Twitch quiz now for a second time. The first one, of course, is Megan Z, who's played three times, the only triple player in Twitch history. But we have somebody who did defeat you
what?
In her last appearance, which was actually, yes, she beat you 4-1.
You are under direct orders to never bring back anybody that beats me.
That has never been in order. I don't remember you ever saying that. But this was November 27th, 2017. So a year and a week ago, this was on the Cole Meadors exit interview where you lost to the great Liana Boris.
All right. So here she is from so many of our wrap-ups, including the Survivor, RHAP, B&B. Please welcome back Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good. Well, thank you, Deuce, for the little bit of This Week in Survivor History, This Week in Survivor History, reminding
yes,
us
meta.
What happened. Yes, very meta. Also, I'm glad that you clarified, Rob, about the Survivor quiz about history, because we do a lot of quizzes on the B&B,
yes.
I feel like ours are better, so...
Yeah,
I don't know about
right.
that.
Liana, I mean, you have so much going on right now with all of the podcasts, because the RHAP B&B firing on all cylinders. You guys got a great guest coming up this weekend. Mary Holland is going to be your guest on the RHAP B&B, but also what's going on with RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yes. So RuPaul's Drag Race, it is not enough that we cover two seasons this year. Apparently, we're going to be covering three along with a Hollis Slay special. So Mike Bloom, Brent Wolgamott, and I are getting back together. We already released a preview podcast for All-Stars Season 4, and then we're going to be doing coverage of that Hollis Slay special, which we don't really know what it's going to be. So find out along with us. And then, of course, we'll be doing the All-Stars Season 4 regular coverage when the season starts on December 14th.
And Liana, do you expect the RuPaul's Hollis Slay special to be better or worse than Santa's Summer Home?
Oh my gosh. Well, if you like croquet, then obviously much worse. But overall, I think more people will watch this one than Santa's Summer Home.
Okay. And we will wait to see if next year there is a RuPaul's dreidel race coming up for Hanukkah, Jordan.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. A lot of people would be betting some gelt on those matchups.
Okay, before we get into the quiz, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, those are friends over at Blink Home Security. Blink is an ultra-affordable, 100% wire-free home security camera that runs on just two AA batteries for up to 2 years. Because Blink cameras don't have any wires, they can be placed virtually anywhere in your home, inside or out. When Nick Wilson goes to look for the idol at nighttime, that he doesn't need Davey to be a lookout for him if he's got a Blink home security system set up, because you can keep an eye on kids or elderly relatives. You could watch your vacation home or Santa's summer home, even your second home as well. Keep an eye on pets. You got teenagers. You got Jordan Kalish renting a room from you. You want to see if he's having a party when you're not home. All of these things, great uses for the Blink home security camera. We have got it set up here, and it could not have been easier in way less time than it takes Jordan to explain the rules of this week in Survivor history. You could set up your Blink home security system, and they start at just $99. Blink uses a free Android, Apple, and Amazon Fire app that allows customers to view their video cameras from anywhere in the world, whether you're traveling out of the country or if you just want to check in on your home while you're at work. Blink gives you peace of mind no matter where you are. So from downloading the app to onboarding the sync module and adding your cameras, the entire process should take less than 5 minutes. So go ahead and get yours. Go to blinkforhome.com/robpodcast. That's blinkforhome.com/robpodcast. All right, Jordan, what categories do you have for us today?
All right. So I know that it sometimes takes a while to explain the rules here, but should I rehash them once again at the beginning of this quiz, just in case you're like the one person who's listening for the first time? Actually, no. Maybe all the Liana stands out there are just tuning in for this one.
So I think let's try this. Liana's been here before. Can Liana give us the rules for the This Week in Survivor History quiz?
Oh no, absolutely
first
not.
Quiz question.
I'll get 0 points on that one. I don't know how it works. I listen every week and I still don't know.
All right. There's four multiple choice questions. You'll each get to answer two. If you hear the multiple choice options and you are right, you get 1 point. If you don't hear the multiple choice options and you're right, you get 2 points. However, you run the risk of allowing your opponent to steal a point if he or she is correct. Is that
great.
Concise
great.
Enough?
That was good.
All right. So the categories today, and Liana, you'll get to choose the first category as the guest. We have You Don't Get a Car. You Don't Get a Car. Dreams Heard, but Dreams Heard is spelled DREAMSHEARD. So like the words dreams and heard. No Play Makes Jeff a Mad Boy, or Any Given Sunday.
I'll go with the car one, because that's the first one I heard.
Yes, You Don't Get a Car. You Don't Get a Car. And we're going to go to Rob's favorite season, Survivor Guatemala.
Classic.
Big win, big decision, big mistake from December 8th, 2005, 13 years ago this coming Saturday. After Cindy Hall took the 2006 Pontiac Torrent for herself instead of giving cars to the other four people left in the game, who did she choose to go with her on the reward feast?
Okay, well, obviously, the only thing I did in preparation for this quiz is rewatch all of Guatemala, just
smart.
Because I knew that all
smart.
The questions
that
were going to be
smart.
There. So I think I actually remember this one. I think it was Stephanie who she decided to take with her.
So Stephanie LaGrossa, that is correct. They got in that 2006 Pontiac Touran. They drove off to the feast. They had a very good time. And while they were there, the rest of the tribe was plotting against her because they were pretty pissed that they didn't get cars. So Liana, you start very strong. You get 2 points. Rob, you get to choose the next category.
I'll take Any Given Sunday.
Okay, so of course we're going to go to Millennials versus Gen X, Slay the Survivor Dragon, and that's 2 years ago tomorrow, December 7th, 2016. This was a day that will live in infamy because Sunday Berquist was voted out in the second half of this double tribal episode. At this tribal council, who played an immunity idol which negated one vote but could have held on to it and still been safe?
I am going to hear the multiple choices.
Okay, was it A, Adam, B, Brett, C, J, D, David?
I'm pretty sure it was J.
Jay is correct. You heard the multiple choice options, so you get a point there. So this was, I think, arguably one of the best moves that Adam made in the game was convincing Jay to play his idol here. I don't know if necessarily voting out Sunday at this point was necessarily the best move, but he was able to get the other threats out.
Yeah, he probably looks back at that as a mistake.
Yeah, really regrets it.
What I really do think Adam did well here is before the whole hammock scene where you have, you know, Adam talking about his mom to Jay in the hammock, which is a very famous scene from that season, he actually convinces Jay that he has to play the idol here. And if Jay doesn't play his idol in the next episode, when Jay finds David's fake idol, he actually could have pulled out the real one and he would have actually been able to save himself. So very important, maybe underrated move here. So, but Rob, you get the point. So it is 2-1. Liana, you could either choose Dreams Heard or No Play Makes Jeff a Mad Boy.
No Play Makes Jeff a Mad Boy. Because okay, how did so you write no that? Was there some, is this like you were trying to write an
learning
essay? Yeah, right, exactly.
It's a play on All Work and No Play Makes Jack a Dull Boy. I guess it didn't land. So we're going to go to San Juan del Sur, kind of like cream cheese, from December 3rd, 2014, 4 years ago this past Monday. During the Skull Chop Reward Challenge, the Majority Alliance made it clear that they would collaborate to fix the outcome once the other contestants had gotten out. This made Jeff visibly annoyed, and he called the challenge, giving the win to the person who would have won anyway, based on the Majority's plan. Who was given the win in this challenge?
Ooh. Okay, I want to hear the, well, I mean, I guess I know who you're going to say. I'm pretty sure John went to exile. I think it was Missy who they decided. Missy, that's my final answer.
You're going with Missy. John did go to exile, and you are correct. Oh. She actually took Baylor and Natalie on that reward with her. This is right before she has that big fight with Reed when she calls Baylor a brat. So you get 2 points. You did not hear the
She's
multiple
not
choice
a girl.
There. You
have a, She's a mom.
Yeah, really, really interesting fight there. And I think
Shut
Missy actually gives
her. Homie G.
See, that's why I remember.
Missy actually gives Reed the finger.
I'm not talking to you.
Well, I heard
Smarty
it.
Yeah, so Liana doing great. A perfect 4 points so far. Rob, there's one category left, and we're going to Dreams Heard. We're going to Samoa, Off With Their Heads, December 3rd, 2009, 9 years ago this past Monday. In Shambo's self-declared clairvoyant dream, who does she say she saw get voted off? By the way, the score is 4-1, which is the final score of the last time Liana and Rob won against each other on Twitch.
We can just quit now.
You're welcome. Okay.
Who does she think she saw voted off? I know Dave Ball was involved somehow, but I think he killed the chicken in her dream. I am going to get the choices.
Okay, probably a smart move, because if Liana were to steal the point here, she would have had a 4-point lead going into the final round, and that is actually, it would be impossible for you to come back.
Thank
so
you.
Probably a good decision here. The choices are A, Dave Ball, B, John Fincher, C, Monica Padilla, or D, herself.
I remember she was mad about Dave Ball killing the chickens, but was she mad about herself being voted out in the dream? I'm going to say... And then I think then Fincher really did get voted out. I will say that she herself.
So you had a lot correct here. Fincher does get voted off. She was mad at Dave Ball, but she didn't see him kill the chickens in the dream. He was talking about how he wanted to kill the chickens, which was not the way that Shambo wanted to kill them. And that's why she was mad at Dave Ball. And then she has this dream in which it was actually Dave Ball who she saw get voted off. So you don't get a point here, but... it's 4-1. Liana has a 3-point lead. It is still possible for you to catch up in the final
round.
Should
have studied Shambo's dreams more.
I know. You should have stuck with your gut. It sounded like your gut was telling you, Dave.
I have a Shambo dream journal. That's the kicker.
Apparently, playing Twitch, it's not your sport.
Yeah, I guess not. Unlike Dave Ball.
All right.
Yeah.
So we are going to go to the death match. And this one is called Loved Ones, because last night we all watched David versus Goliath Loved Ones Challenge, and we all know who won that one. Do you know that there have been six other Loved Ones challenges this week in Survivor history? I will give you a season and you must tell me who won the Loved Ones Reward Challenge. Just a couple notes here about this game. There have been instances in Survivor history in which the winner of the Loved Ones Reward gives someone else the chance to see their loved one. However, the correct answer will be the person who actually won the challenge. Also, there have been certain seasons in which there was a reward to win a loved one's video, followed by a second reward challenge to actually see their loved one on the island. In this case, the correct answer will be the person who won the reward to see the loved one in person. So we're going to go with whoever the guy on Twitter was that didn't like the random numbers. So Rob, you are you're losing here. So you get to choose a number here between 1 through 6. That'll decide what your first question is, and then it'll also decide the rest of the order for this final round.
I will go with 5.
Okay, so 5 is Survivor Thailand.
Oh boy. Okay. The person that won the Loved Ones Reward Challenge. It was Helen.
Helen is correct. Very memorable scene where her husband gets to come back to camp with her. So very nice job. You have a 4-2 lead, Liana. If you get this one right, you actually clinch the quiz here. And we are going to Survivor Gabon.
Wow. Okay, no pressure.
Actually, no, that's not true, by the way. If you are wrong here, Rob would get the next two and he could tie it up. So the worst you could do if you get it wrong here is that Rob ties it and we go to a tiebreaker.
Oh, okay. Then it's fine, right? Then it doesn't matter.
No pressure.
No pressure. Okay, let's see. So Survivor Gabon. Do I remember this? Was it Maddie?
It was not Maddie, and I think the reason you thought that
he
it might
proposed,
be Maddie is that he
right?
does propose to his girlfriend, but he did not win the challenge. Everyone actually did get a chance to like say bye to their loved one, but it was Bob who won the challenge here. So, Liana, you don't get a point there. Rob gets the next two, and if he gets both of these right, we go to a tiebreaker. And
so
Rob,
Liana
we're going
is
to
out.
Survivor.
She doesn't get to guess anymore?
She doesn't get to guess anymore unless you get the next two right, which would tie it up, and therefore we would go to the tiebreaker. Well, so, Rob, we're going to Survivor China.
Okay. Survivor China, who won the family visit there?
Is this like when it was the reward challenge of the season when they started yelling random numbers? Can I just start yelling
yes,
random contestants from China?
I mean, I don't know if that's going to work
from other
maybe
seasons.
There's some people out there that Rob doesn't remember.
Yeah, we'll do other
seasons. You can yell whatever you want. There's no rule against yelling out people's names from Survivor China or other seasons. Jessica DeBen.
Earl. Yeah. Randy.
Liliana Gomez.
We're in.
Abby Maria.
Okay. Clay Jordan.
Okay. I don't have a great recollection of this, but I want to say that I think Amanda was the winner.
Amanda was taken on the reward. It was actually Denise who took Todd and Amanda. So unfortunately, Rob, you are out. And Liana wins the quiz 4-2. But silver lining here, last time it was 4-1. So you did do better against Liana this time.
Just 3 more years, Liana, and then you'll be
get there.
Going down in flames.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, bring that day. Slump buster, I will not be.
Where is Jacob Derwin coming back?
He's coming back in next season premiere episode of Survivor 38. He'll be back. But we have I wish we would have gotten to this. The double tiebreaker that I had planned, this probably would have been a little controversial. I actually found the blue book value of the 2006 Pontiac Touran, and you were going to have to do a Price is Right style guessing of how much that car Price is Rourke guessing of how much that car is worth now. So we could do that. We could if you guys want to guess the price of the 2006 Pontiac Touran, which the average mileage would be 138,000 miles.
So I understand the exercise here. That is what the 2006 Pontiac Torrent is now, or what it would be in today's dollars?
Now, is now worth, if there was
what
a 2006
condition?
Pontiac Torrent, average condition of a 12-year-old car with 138,000 miles. If you're buying it from a dealer.
So this is like you went to Kelley Blue Book and you put in this Pontiac Torrent. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did.
So
that's exactly what I did.
Work?
Those were the steps.
So Liana has to.
You would type me the on Skype the your guess, and whoever is closest, it's Price is Right, Price is Rourke rules. So if you go over and the other person's not or over, you automatically lose. So if you guys want to go ahead and send me your answers, I will take a look. Probably don't want to send it in. There's no group chat actually, so.
All right. I almost had to Liana. Oh my God.
What a disaster
that would be. And then if Liana is wrong, then I win, right?
The quiz is over, so you cannot win at this point.
But then we're even.
Okay, so I have
Do
a guess
I get
from
bonus
Rob.
And I won one and she won one then today.
Then okay, you won the game that didn't count because we didn't get to the double tiebreaker, and Liana won the one that did count. So sure, yep. You each won one. Liana, have you sent me anything yet? I don't see it.
I think so. I'll send you a participation trophy, Rob, if you beat me in this. Yes, and deliver you some milk via drone as well.
Liana, I don't see your message coming through, but it doesn't matter because I have Rob's. So if you could just say yours, Rob can't change his. What is your guess?
Oh, it would have been funnier for you to read it on air. $690.
$690. Rob's guess is $2,999. Rob did a lot better on this one. The actual price is $3,691. So Cindy Hall, if you still have that car, Cindy Hall, you can get
a few grand out of it. Is the 2006 Pontiac Torrent used by Cindy Hall? Are you incorporating the intrinsic value of it being Survivor memorabilia?
I think the person buying Cindy Hall, maybe if Cindy Hall really wanted to sell her car. I never said it was Cindy Hall's 2006 Pontiac Torrent. She probably doesn't have that car anymore, to be honest.
What are you talking about? I have that car. I look and go to that car every day. I love that car. It's the best car I've ever had. So I was
very confused. She has a quote in this episode where she's like, zookeepers don't have cars. And I'm like, how do you get to the zoo?
Maybe she lives there.
Or you ride an animal.
No, is right? That what
like,
you do?
Yeah, like you know all the animals. You're friends with animals.
Yeah, that's the best part of being a zookeeper.
Yeah.
I didn't know if this was a thing where like she can't afford to buy a car because she's a zookeeper, or if like it's just like a thing where zookeepers are just against car ownership.
I don't know.
This is a philosophical thing.
I don't know. You'd have to ask Cindy Hall. We'll get Cindy Hall next week on
see.
Twitch.
Hopefully she's friends with T-Bird and we can call her at some point.
She probably is.
Yeah, this is equal to the Brochacho crisis.
Okay. All right. Jordan, do you have any more questions for Liana?
I have one question for Liana. Who's the first survivor you followed on Twitter? We didn't do this the last time you were on Twitch. I don't know if we were doing this every week the last time you were on Twitch, but who do you think the first survivor you followed on Twitter is?
Oh, I have no idea. Rob, probably.
It was not. It was actually the mayo jar. Nick
Oh, yeah.
True desires there. I just have a thing for your distant, sarcastic, pretty boys. So.
Rob was second. Rob was second place. But you actually followed Brent Wolgamott before you followed Rob Sesternino.
Oh, wow. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, sure.
it will mean a lot to Brent. Okay. All right. So Liana Boris, you could follow her on Twitter. She is at Liana Boris. What a singing voice we heard on The Wand Off this week as well. The multi-talented Liana Boris. Liana, anything else going on?
Oh, my gosh. Important things? No. I've been watching 90 Day Fiancé, which is garbage TV, if anybody's interested. And that's the most exciting thing in my life. So
okay. It says in your Twitter bio, PhD in biomedical engineering, postdoc at Yale, CVRC. Did you happen to attend any of the negotiating courses at Yale?
Let's see. So, yeah, I'm at the Yale Cardiovascular Research Center doing research. Unfortunately, we're not part of the Yale Law School, but obviously I need to take some negotiating classes because postdocs are notoriously underpaid and I need more money to get rice.
So are zookeepers.
Rice. Yeah, exactly. So maybe the zookeepers and us, the postdocs, can team up and we can take some negotiating classes and get ourselves some cars and rice.
Okay. Liana, thank you so much. Everybody check out the RHAP B&B this weekend with Mary Holland and then all of the RuPaul's Drag Race coverage, which is coming back. Liana, always a pleasure.
Yes, this was so much fun. Thank you for having me. I will come back anytime to challenge Rob.
And of course, Liana. Yes, thank you for coming on. I really love the B&B for the past couple of seasons. It's so much fun. It really makes the commute that New York City commute.
And sadly,
better.
Yeah, this is the first time we've heard from Liana on an exit interview this season because all of the voted off survivors have had perfect attendance to this point.
Yeah, I know. I was really hoping with Alec, I might get one, but
we'll see.
I don't know. You know, I just don't want things to get misconstrued, but I'm here to help, you know, if you need me to fill in. So,
all right. Well, Liana, thank you so much, Jordan. And talk to you next week, buddy. On the This Week in Survivor History finale.
Wow.
Wait, hold on one second. My TV just turned on somehow. where's the mute button? This is a new remote. There we go. Oh, wait. Nope. Wrong remote.
Get it
wrong
together. Remote. We got 5 seconds left.
There we go.
I said, I'll see you next week on the This Week in Survivor History finale.
Yes, one more guest. This is a guest who's been scheduled all season. I'm not going to spoil it yet, but I think it's going to be one that everyone is really going to like.
Okay. All right. Is it Nick Majorano?
It is not Nick Majorano.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Everybody, there you have it. This Week in Survivor History, a quiz with Liana Boris. Congratulations, Liana, for your win this week. All right. We are going to switch gears. I'm going to talk to Tyson about within the next hour from when I'm recording this. So we'll have that up for you guys on Thursday night. And then I will be speaking with the Purple Pants Badass on Friday. Bryce Isaiah. Really looking forward to that one as well. And then we're going to even have some bonus coverage coming up between then and the Wiggle Room. So a lot to unpack here as we are now within 2 weeks until the Survivor finale. So we are really going to kick it into high gear for you guys here in December. So thank you guys so much. Of course, doubly thanks to the patrons of Rob's Podcast who make all of this nonsense possible. Talk to you again soon, everybody. Take care. Bye. A special thanks to our friends over at True Car for sponsoring this episode of Rob is a Podcast. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof? Watch as they bump up your value. High mileage? You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can know how much it's going to ding or bing your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you got a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.